You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In the operating room, too, I would add, for any surgeons that might be listening, because, you know, who knows, maybe the patient might be out completely, maybe not. Maybe they could listen to what we're talking about here with, for example, Ronald Serpas, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD superintendent, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police. How you doing?
I'm good, Tommy. How are you today?
You imagine a surgeon replacing somebody's knee, and right in the middle of something, they're listening to you and me, and the patient sits up and says, "That's a hell of a point." Wouldn't that be something?
I think it could happen. It may have already happened.
It may have already. Who knows? It may have already happened. Tell me.
You can't avoid brilliance even if you're under anesthesia.
Yeah, well, let's not get crazy. Let's talk about the new mayor and, you know, today's qualifying. And what given the situation of crime in New Orleans and the progress that has been made, is there more meat left on the bone, or does the new mayor just have to leave it alone?
Well, I think there's always meat on the bone, because the police department, while it's surviving with 900 people and increasing citizen satisfaction, is at the effort of individual officers making contact with people and fairly treating them. You still have a department that has tens of millions of visitors a year. You have these major events that we have. And if the police would find a rational, not my consultancy, consultant to come in and count the number of calls, count the number of investigations, count the amount of time on those, and say with a point of clarity, level set, the NOPD needs to be this number. That hasn't been done fully, to my awareness, since about 2013. So that's what's needed. So the new mayor knows what they're standing on. We can't keep saying 900's not enough and have success, but we can't possibly believe that that success couldn't be greater if there were more than 900. So that's it. Level set. Hire some people who know what they're doing. Get them in here. Let them go through the weeds, just like Mitch did, just like other mayors I worked for did. When the debate about the size of the police department becomes so overwhelming, you got to bring in some external experts to say, hey, this is what you should agree your number is. If we all agree on that number, we can move forward with a strategy that makes sense. We don't have that right now.
How would you even go about determining what the right number is?
We do it all over the country. You know, Tommy, we've been doing this for the last many years. And first and foremost, you look at the calls for service load, which has a lot of good quality data where you can make some assumptions on workload, not census, not population. None of that matters when it comes to what people are actually calling and responding to. Secondly, my group, and some of us are really proud of this, we're moving much further into counting time that detectives actually spend on cases. And that gives you a number to start crafting a staffing model that makes sense for victims to have a response to their crime with an investigation. And then we also have been very successful in departments 5-6 times larger than New Orleans, and also 3 times smaller, to take into account changes in population, changes in neighborhood settling patterns, changes that come when you have a Mardi Gras or a Super Bowl or a Sugar Bowl. This can be done. There's a lot of people that do it. The city's just got to say, we want to know what this is, so the council and the mayor and the community can have a similar starting point. Let's say that number turns out to be 1,104. Okay, we've got some math to tell us that's the number. Let's work to that number.
Give me a second. Let them get the patient to lie back down on the table.
Did you have a notepad out?
All right, doctor, we're good to go. Nurse, everybody's good to go. All right, good. They're passing some more gas. He's going, well, I should have passed. Bad choice of phrases, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, let me ask you this. When it comes to determining, and, you know, I love to pick your brain about police departments and so forth. When it comes to the murder police, when it comes to the homicide detectives, because I think I was speaking to one the other day about some story, I forget exactly what it was, but I think it was a homicide detective, about ankle monitoring and so forth.
Yes.
How do you go about developing the murder police, developing a good homicide detective? How does that happen, and how do you go about finding out what officer is best for what job?
Well, the first thing the chief has to do is figure out how many officers we need. The only number that's been bannered about since early 2010s was a homicide detective should not receive more than 6 new homicide cases per year.
Really?
That was meant, Tommy, that math doesn't work anymore, but that's the math a lot of departments still work with. Mm-hmm. So in 2018 and 19, I was part of a team, co-led a team. We looked at the Puerto Rico Police Department. They had over 600 homicides, and doing some really good research and work with them, we identified that it takes about 270 hours of actual touch time. Where Tommy's the lead detective, it takes about 270 hours. And we had a case of 600 to look at, so it's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
We've replicated that in other cities, and we're getting a more refined tool. That's the first question. Well, how many do we need against the number we get in? Secondly, identifying homicide detectives is like any other employee. You look for some knowledge, skills, and ability that they've demonstrated in the way they write police reports, in the way they perform their duties. You give them an opportunity to test drive. That's what I've always thought was important. Test drive a little bit in a detective function. We have many detective functions outside of homicide. And you keep building up this layered impact of how are they performing under the stress of the different jobs. And then we created a cold case unit for homicide in 1996, one of the first in the country, if not the first. Homicide cold case are usually where your most seasoned detectives are. We've recommended in my consultancy and in my time as chief, put some new homicide detectives with these cold case detectives who are not catching active cases, but have this tremendous wealth of experience, and test drive them. If they pass through all of that, I think you got a good shot at selecting a good person, and then you continually train them as technologies change, as the law changes, as search and seizure changes, and that's how you do it. And guess what? You would do the same thing for a sex crime detective. You'd do the same thing for a child abuse detective. You want to get the round peg in the round hole, mm-hmm. not the square and the round. I'm going to tell you something. I respect homicide detectives as much as anybody on earth, but if you want to know who does the kind of detective work that really wants you to sing to your heart of finding the right person, child sex assault.
Mm.
Imagine talking to a 3-year-old about these topics.
Mm.
You got to find the right people.
Mm. All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. 8:21 traffic now. WWL. 8:25. Tommy Tucker. WWL. Making our weekly visit with Ronald Surpass, professor of practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police, consultant. You'll see him on TV occasionally on this cable show or that cable show or this network show about crime. So, Chief, when it comes to somebody texted in, what makes for a good detective? Because they have somebody in their family, and it's a lengthy text, that wants to join a police department, but they think that they would make a good detective. So what is the career path for that once you join the police department?
In municipal police departments, you're going to do time in the car. That's the beginning point. That's like the journey person start. You're going to demonstrate your ability to take advice and counsel. You need to demonstrate your ability to be inquisitive. And I'll tell you this, Tommy, one of the things that I've found most identifiable in successful detectives of any sort is they're a bit OCD. Like they don't let something go unturned. You and I would know this reference, and I think most of your audience would. I used to love watching Columbo.
Mm-hmm.
But Columbo really was the worst example of a detective because he'd make his mind up on the first few minutes in the script, and then the script would make that the reality. That's exactly opposite of what good detectives do. And the other thing we've learned from all this research we've been doing and all the years I worked in chiefing, guess what is the most reliable predictor of a police department solving murders with an arrest?
Reports.
Quality, direct, and accountable supervision.
Mm.
That's it. That's what matters. We went to cities that had no snitch problems, and those cities that had quality, effective, close and effective supervision of the detectives resulted in higher clearance rates, because what happens is it's almost like being a pilot. You got to check every box on every checklist before you take a plane off. Quality and effective close supervision makes those great detectives better, because they can't remember everything like anybody can't remember anything. So if you want to be a detective, I advise get educated in college, because you learn how to think and read and write and present yourself. Secondly, you're going to do time in a car. You're going to be on the streets. You're going to be pounding the beat, learning the neighborhoods, learning people. And then you're going to start exposing yourself to opportunities to be a detective in units that are not like child sex abuse or homicide at first. Robbery, burglary, theft, auto theft. You'll start there and demonstrate an ability to do this kind of independent, closely supervised work. And it'll come for you. It'll find you.
I'm getting besieged by texts here, people wanting to pick your brain about, you know, because they watch TV and they see the interrogation. And a lot of people want to know how important of a skill is that, and is there an art to that, or is that kind of overdone when it comes to crime shows on TV?
Almost everything that's on television and movies is overdone and dramatic versus what really happens. The most effective homicide detective I worked with in my career, all hands down, is a guy named Pat in Nashville. He was a Golden Glove boxer. I never saw him raise his voice to anybody. I never saw him use a language that would be degrading or diminishing to anybody. He was the exact example of a great homicide detective. He was confident in his ability. He didn't have to bluster. He didn't have to fight with people. And when you would watch his interviews, particularly of mass murderers, you know, serial killer that he found all by himself, he never raised his voice. It was nothing like you would see on television. None of this pounding on the desk and throwing stuff all around. That's drama. The best detectives I've worked with are people that you wouldn't be able to pick out of a lineup, because they're very comfortable in their skin. They don't need to act out. They just do their job. Pat, best homicide detective ever lived.
Real quick, somebody texted in about hiring NOPD. If we can't get to 950, what difference does it make if the right number is 1,000 or 10,000? How hard is it to hire officers for NOPD?
Well, we're starting to see some positive changes in hiring in the larger departments. Nothing dramatic yet, but we're seeing some changes. And secondly, if you don't know what your goal number is, then you're constantly in a conflict over did you have enough or did you not have enough. And you know who that really affects, Tommy? The poor cop that comes to work every day and is told by his community or his leadership, we don't got enough. We can't get anything done. How demoralizing is that? Get a number that everybody can agree to with some outside expertise, so there's no biases and there's no my friend said this, and then work to that number, whatever it is. We're seeing some success in some of the bigger cities in the country collecting more people than they're losing. It'll come. This call comes in waves. It comes in waves.
Thank you, Chief. Appreciate it as always. Chief Ronald Surpass. We'll talk to J.P. Morrell when we come back right now. Time for WWL First News. 844, 16 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend, New Orleans City Council member, J.P. Morrell. How you doing, J.P.?
I'm good. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm all right. Take me back, if you will, please, to Charity Hospital after Katrina. I know you were in the legislature, maybe after, I don't know, not then. I guess you were probably a Liberty baby boy during Katrina. But tell me what happened with Charity Hospital, and what did FEMA do, and how did they decide that they were not going to open it? Because that brings us up to the current story of Charity Hospital. But I was just trying to get a refresher on it.
Well, essentially, after Charity Hospital was devastated after Katrina, the state was given the opportunity, that's before I joined the legislature, and I wasn't a baby, Tommy, I was a public defender, but the state was given the opportunity.
I don't know how old you are. I never asked. I don't know.
I'm 47.
Okay.
The state was given the opportunity to build UMC rather than rebuild Charity, because the cost of rebuilding Charity, and that was under Blanco, they deemed the cost as cost prohibitive. So rather than rehabilitate Charity, they built the new UMC, which anchored the federal government building the new VA next to the new UMC.
Right. So now Tulane wants to renovate Charity Hospital, and they want the city to kick in $20 million. Is that what's going on? Or the city agreed to
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me through.
It's a lot more complicated than that. So essentially, LSU picked a developer years ago to redevelop Charity as a mixed-use building, which would have low-income housing as well as office space and a medical research. Mm-hmm. That developer went bust. Mm-hmm. Tulane, which was the largest tenant, stepped in to lead the development because they want to anchor a larger footprint of a bioinnovation district. And essentially, what the city council committed in exchange for settling Tulane's portion of the Wisner lawsuit was to commit $20 million in capital outlay dollars towards the redevelopment of Charity, which in every version of redeveloping Charity, there was always going to be a city and state contribution because the overall cost of redeveloping Charity, Tommy, is close to $1 billion.
Right.
So $20 million in capital investment for infrastructure to bring Charity back into commerce in the scheme of things, as it's going to be almost probably close to $1 billion redevelopment. Not a lot of money. It is similar to the city's commitment when we did, the city council's commitment when we did the settlement with the school board regarding their outstanding lawsuits, where we committed to continue to pay money to like stuff like Thrive Kids. That was in the city's best interest anyway.
So,
the more important thing in what the mayor's veto yesterday represented is, as you know, the mayor has consistently been on the side of the greedy heirs and against the city actually getting full control of the property. And her veto last week was an effort by the mayor to punish Tulane for settling with the city council in the city.
Where is the $650 million going to come from, or $630 million? I don't know if you're taking $20 million out of that. Pretty soon we'll be talking about dollars, you know, real tough money. But where does that $650 million come from, and where does that whole project stand now, JP?
Well, it's going to be a combination. That's really a Tulane question, not a JP question. But
gotcha.
That is going to be a combination of federal, state tax credit, Tulane putting up hundreds of millions of dollars of its own to anchor the project. And just remember, that $20 million commitment that the city has made in this settlement does not come into play unless the development actually happens. So it's a pledge towards the redevelopment of Charity Hospital, but it's a capital investment, not cash.
And that was the question I had, is what did she really veto? Because this is still a long way from happening, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, the only logical reason, I say logical, stretching the term logical, is that the mayor has consistently been against the city council getting full control of Wisner, full control of those tens of acres at Port Fouchon, that $10 million a year revenue stream. The mayor has sided with the heirs consistently, and the heirs, as we won, as you may or may not know, we
right.
actually won
sure.
two massive rulings in that case, which nullified the mayor's previous agreement. Settling with Tulane, settling with LSU, that strengthens our positions on appeal, and the mayor's doing everything possible, working with those greedy out-of-state heirs to try and undermine the settlement, because she would rather those greedy out-of-state heirs and the mayor retain control of their money and slush funds rather than that money join the general fund and be part of the money we use to pay for services.
Well, I don't think you have to sugarcoat it. You can just tell us how you feel, JP. When it comes,
it's been a long lawsuit.
I know. When it comes to the $20 million that the city, you said, kicked in for Charity, or was gonna, that she vetoed in exchange for Tulane giving up their portion of the trust, the city was going to kick in $20 million anyway. So I guess here's the question: did the city really give up anything or if they did give up something that they weren't going to give up, what did they get in exchange for it from Tulane if they won the court case anyway? You with me?
Well, the issue is that, as I said, we won the two primary cases. We are in the midst of moving forward with some clawback provisions, and the case is on appeal. It is very common in litigation that as you are moving forward from initial judgment to appeals to try and settle with parties to an appeal. So this is pretty common to try and get people to get on your side of the V, so to speak, in a lawsuit, so that as you're going through appeal, having those people on it is helpful. Additionally, the assumption that the heirs are going to file for a suspense of appeal, which will keep the previous kind of mayor signed deal in place while the appeal is pending, obtaining the LSU and Tulane portion, along with the portion the city council represents, which is the city, would actually give us a majority state control of the trust while we're going through the appeal process. So there are some significant strategic advantages to doing this, which is why we're doing it. It was led by Councilmember Joe DiRusso, who has been a lawyer longer than I have. Mm-hmm. And it just does not make sense why the mayor would do this, which is why, Tommy, as you can expect, there were seven council members, all seven, were co-authors on this amendment to do this set-aside capital commitment for the settlement. The veto override is absolutely assured tomorrow.
Well, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to tell you how I feel. She got a head like a rock. That's why she's doing it, because she's just hard-headed. Let me take a break. We come back, and we'll talk about Mardi Gras. Story is in NOLA.com today. And the Saints, JP, I don't know if you know this or not, are dropping a new helmet at 10 o'clock. Did you know this?
I'm sorry, my hair's been on fire for like 3 years.
No, I understand.
So I did not notice that.
Well, no, they are. They're gonna drop a new helmet. So let me know when we come back. You can give it some thought during the commercial break what you would like the helmet to look like. Okay. I would say a picture of JP Morrell on the side of it, but we'll see. 8:52 traffic now. WWL. 8:57, Tommy Tucker, WWO. Quickly back to J.P. Morrell. J.P., forget the Saints helmets because I answered the question. You should put a picture of the mayor on there because with a head that hard, you know, it could be ultimate protection. Let's talk about Mardi Gras, because what always screams to me about this is that everybody wants to put on a Mardi Gras parade, but it takes money to do that. It is not the greatest free show on earth for the people that are putting on the parade or that have the crew. Tell me what's going on with parade permits, ocean, et cetera.
Well, essentially, we already know from when Nix died that there was going to have to be a process in which we allow new parades to come online. What the ocean kind of fiasco illustrated is that we have parades potentially that are becoming financially insolvent. So, one, we have to create a process through which is fair, transparent, and easy to follow as to what the waiting list is to get a parade route, and also to kick the tires to make sure that new crews that come into existence, they have the financial wherewithal to do it. So we're working on restructuring the waiting list. We're not changing people on it. We're just going to put some criteria there to make sure that the people that are trying to start new crews, one, they're not zombie versions of existing crews, and two, that they have the financial wherewithal to actually do a parade. The city covers sanitation. The taxpayers cover police. But it's your job to pay for all of the everything else and to have the show.
And to have the components that you need to get the permit and maintain the permit. My feeling as a lifelong New Orleanian, a tad older than 47, is that there was a rapid expansion of parades and that maybe not enough money behind the expansion, and now there's going to be a natural contraction of the market, so maybe less will be more. Thoughts on that?
Well, I think that obviously, as you saw, we didn't rush to replace Nix. And it's not something where we desperately need to have more parades, but there will come a point that if there are crews that are ready and willing to go, and we continue to have a contraction of different existing crews, it's something we have to consider. But one thing we learned after Nix went away was that the waiting list is really not done in a really logistical, transparent, and objective way. There are people who are on that list, but that list is so old, Tommy, some of the groups may not exist anymore, and we have to kind of deal with all of that at once.
Not to mention funding. Thank you, JP. Appreciate your time, as always. We'll take a break. Talk to Rosalind Cook, a political science professor at Tulane, about the mayor's race. Then we'll talk about picking up garbage in the quarters.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.